From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Welton Gaddy, broadcasting this week from Monroe, Louisiana. This program is made possible in part through the generous support of State of Belief listeners, just like you. And we're very thankful for every one of you. For more information on how you can keep this show on the air, please visit stateofbelief.com. On our interfaith calendar, Thursday marks the Baha'i observance of the Declaration of the Bab. Now, here's what's coming up on this week's show, and I've got to tell you, I am excited about this week's show.
According to Pew Research, the number of Americans who consider themselves Christian dropped approximately 8% in 7 years.
The percentage of Christians is falling, and more people are exercising freedom from religion.
This week, the respected Pew Research Center for Religion and Public Life released its latest comprehensive report titled America's Changing Religious Landscape. For years now, we've seen multiple studies, especially from Pew and the highly respected Public Religion Research Institute, identify a consistent trend of growing disaffiliation among people of faith in this country. That's where the nickname nuns originated. It's shorthand for the religiously unaffiliated, a group that is consistently found to be growing, especially among younger Americans. Predictably, these findings are not without some controversy. Earlier in the month, Baylor University, a leading Baptist institution and home to the Institute for Studies of Religion, hosted a symposium titled "The End of Religion?" Striking a defensive pose and questioning the methodology's conclusions and even the agendas of those who see the kinds of changes we've been reporting on for years. ISR has performed its own comprehensive survey, which offers some very different observations of the religious landscape. Now, this is really important stuff, folks. Not only is the religious landscape significant to many of us individually, regardless of where our personal beliefs may fall, but for better or for worse, policymakers and politicians respond to what they perceive that landscape to be. Finally, beyond the question of what is happening is the question of why it is happening. One theory in particular resonates deeply with everything Interfaith Alliance and its partners stand for. For more than a generation, a significant number of conservative church leaders have devoted themselves to fighting the culture wars, not only from the pulpit, but in the media and the ballot box. But in the words, ironically, of a far-right Christian leader, when you mix politics and religion, you get politics. And scholarly research confirms that it's this tendency that has alienated at least some Americans from organized religion. Important work in this area has been done by sociologist Claude S. Fisher of the University of California at Berkeley, and he'll be with us later on this week's show. I'll also talk with Dr. Byron Johnson, director of the Institute for Studies of Religion at Baylor University. This is a large and vitally important subject. Consider this week to be the start of a conversation that will continue on future shows, a conversation that we want you to take part in. How are you experiencing America's changing religious landscape? What has influenced your own relationship with organized religion in recent years? Folks, we really do want to hear from you on these questions. Contact us on Facebook or Twitter, by telephone or by email. All of our contact information is at stateofbelief.com. We really want to hear from you. Right now, I'm very pleased to be joined by Dr. Gregory A. Smith, Associate Director of Pew Research Center for Religion and Public Life. He's been with us before. Dr. Smith, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me. Good to be with you.
I guess we ought to begin with you, if you will, just briefly summarizing what you were asking in this survey.
Well, this is the second big religious landscape study that we've conducted. We did the first one in 2007 and then the second one in 2014. These are massive surveys with more than 35,000 people from all around the country, and they're designed to really provide a precise accounting of the size of all of the religious groups that make up the United States population. What we find in this survey is that the religiously unaffiliated continue to grow at a very rapid pace. People who describe themselves as atheists or as agnostic or as having no particular religion now account for more than one in five adults in the United States. And while they've been growing, the Christian share of the population has continued to decline. We have seen some people say that part of what's happening here is that people who are nominally religious, people who might have once identified as Protestant or Catholic or as a member of another faith, but who in fact were not particularly religiously observant, that those people are increasingly describing themselves as religiously unaffiliated. And we've published other work that suggests that that is indeed part of what's happening. But I don't think that that's all that's happening. One of the things that this study shows is that as the religiously unaffiliated are growing, they are also becoming more secular. And what I mean by that is that the share of religiously unaffiliated people who describe themselves as atheist or as agnostic, or who say that religion just doesn't matter very much in their lives, they are growing. So it's not just that the unaffiliated are growing, they're also becoming more secular at the same time.
Yeah. I know that when you did the first of these massive polls, that we noted the growing presence of the nuns, so-called. And every year since then, whoever has been doing the polling, with a few exceptions, have found that number growing. Were you at all surprised at the growth of that percentage of the people who claim to be more secular and not as related to religion?
What I do find a little surprising is the pace with which the religiously unaffiliated continue to grow. This study shows that 23% of American adults now say they have no religion. That's up almost 7 points since we first did this study in 2007. That's very rapid growth. The survey also suggests that the religiously unaffiliated are now more numerous than mainline Protestants and even than Catholics. And that is a change. That assuredly was not the case when we first did this study in 2007. So those elements of the findings were very striking to me.
And Dr. Smith, Pew is looking purely at data, singularly at data. You're not trying to explain why this happened, right?
We're not trying to explain it in the sense that we don't take positions on these things. We don't look at these trends as either positive or negative developments. We don't attempt to offer strategies for the way these things might be addressed. We don't even suggest that these developments should be addressed.
Right.
So we are looking strictly at the data. However, the data do offer some clues about some very important factors that undergird these trends. One of the most important ones is generational replacement. A big part of what you have happening is that there is an older generation in the United States among whom the vast majority identify with Christianity, and relatively few say they have no religion. Part of what's happening is that as that older generation passes away, it is being replaced by a new generation of young adults that is far less connected to Christianity and far more religiously unaffiliated than their parents' or grandparents' generations ever were. So that's a big part of what's happening that we can see very clearly in the data.
Do you see regional differences in the observation you just made?
Yes and no. On the one hand, there are regional differences in the religious composition of different places in the United States. We know that the South, for example, is home to more evangelical Protestants than any other region. We know that the western region of the United States is home to more religiously unaffiliated people than other regions are. That said, one of the things that's really striking in these data is that these trends are occurring everywhere. the South, the Northeast, the Midwest, the West, all of these places have seen growing shares who identify with no religion and shrinking shares who identify with Christianity. To be sure, they're starting from different places along the spectrum, mm-hmm. but the trends are all in the same direction.
The generational divide, how distinct is that? When we talk about a new generation, what kind of age group are we talking about?
Well, the way we've done it is we've broken the population up into five generational categories. The greatest generation includes people who were born before the year 1928. Among that group, 86% identify as Christians and just 8% say they have no religion. Mm-hmm. We then have the silent generation, the famous baby boomer generation, Generation X. And then the youngest generational cohort we look at is the millennial generation, people mm-hmm. born since 1981. If you look at that group, 56% of millennials describe themselves as Christians. That's a 30-point gap between people in the greatest generation and millennials. So 56% of millennials identify themselves as Christians. 35% of millennials say they have no religion.
Mm-hmm. You've done two of the really massive surveys at Pew, but for years you've been doing polling about religion and where people fit on the religious spectrum. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that is correct. At the Pew Research Center, we study a lot of different topics, public opinion as it relates to politics. We study social and demographic trends in the United States and all around the world. We study the state of journalism. But religion is a key part of what we do. Mm-hmm. It's also worth pointing out that we are a strictly nonpartisan, non-advocacy organization, meaning mm-hmm. that we don't take positions on political issues or social issues. We also don't take positions on religious issues. It's mm-hmm. not our place to describe these trends that we've been talking about in either positive or negative terms. Rather, we really see our role and our mission as that of trying to provide good, solid, up-to-date information that interested observers can use, whether they be policymakers and political leaders or religious leaders or just interested parties of any kind can use to inform their own thinking about important issues of the day.
I'm glad you said that because I want people to understand why you all are so good at this and why your numbers are so trustworthy. This is something you've been about for a long time. In all of your polling, religion has some influence, as it does all across America, and the data that you have documented in this survey is consistent and complementary to data that you've found in other surveys about other subjects that involve religion.
It certainly is, and that's very nice of you to say. We do try to pay close attention to religion because we know that it's an important factor helping to shape people's worldview, helping to shape the way people approach their everyday lives, helping to shape the way people think about politics. Mm-hmm. So we do pay close attention to these issues, even when we're working on other projects that might not explicitly focus on religion, we still try to always be cognizant of it.
Are there any other surprises that we may overlook because we're so attracted to these headlines?
One of the other set of findings that really jumped out at me relates to religious switching. Mm-hmm. We talked about the importance of generational replacement in driving some of the trends that we observe, but another key factor behind what's going on is religious switching. The survey finds that about 4 in 10 American adults identify with a religion today that's different than the religion in which they were raised. And that includes people who have switched from one religion to another, mm-hmm. but it also includes people who have switched from a religion to now having no religion. And in fact, the religiously unaffiliated, part of the reason they're growing so rapidly is because they make more gains through religious switching than does any other group. In fact, almost 1 in 5 American adults, 1 in 5 American adults are people who say they were raised in a religion, mostly Protestantism or Catholicism, but other religions as well, and who now have no religion. So those religious switching figures are another key piece of the puzzle we shouldn't leave out.
Dr. Smith, I I know that we are changing religiously in this nation. I can't help but wonder if some of the changes we see in polling come from the public having a greater sense of freedom about being honest about where they are in religion and on the religion landscape. I don't know whether this is true or not, but I heard at one time in the past that one of the questions that usually had been asked was probably not always answered honestly, and that is, how many times do you go to a house of worship during the week? And people seem to not be free to be honest about that. I'm wondering if we're not just being far more honest about our relationship to religion than we have in the past.
Part of what's happening may be that saying you have no religion, identifying as an atheist or as an agnostic or someone who's just not particularly religious, that may not have the stigma attached to it that perhaps it once did.
Yeah.
We've done other research that shows that much of the growth of the religiously unaffiliated population has occurred among people who say they seldom or never attend religious services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might seem obvious. Of course, people who don't attend religious services would be more likely to be religiously unaffiliated than people who regularly attend religious services. But the thing that's interesting, at least in this previous research we did, is that while the religiously unaffiliated were growing among people who say they seldom or never attend religious services, the number of people who seldom or never attend religious services actually wasn't changing very much.
Hmm.
What was changing was mostly how they described themselves rather than how they behaved.
Hmm.
I do think that that's an element of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the whole story? I'm not so sure about that.
Sure.
Because we can't overlook these generational divides. We can't overlook the fact that young people coming of age today look pretty different than their elders. We also can't overlook the fact that the religiously unaffiliated are becoming substantially more secular over time.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that people's self-identities might be being brought into line to match mm-hmm. their beliefs and practices might be part of the story, but I don't think we should conclude that it's the whole story.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I want to be sure our listeners are told how they can read America's Changing Religious Landscape, the report by that name. What's the best way for listeners to look at the data?
Go to our website, www.pewresearch.org, and they can find the whole report there. I should point out, too, that the report is very detailed, very complex. It runs upwards of 200 pages in length, and it's got a tremendous amount of detail in it, so that if your listeners are interested in learning about particular denominations or particular demographic groups, we've tried to be very comprehensive. You can also find a new interactive database on that website where you can explore the data that's most of interest to you.
Dr. Smith, the recent Baylor University Symposium took direct aim at respected religion research organizations, including Pew, in claiming that the reports of any move away from religion in America is simply not true. And that bothers me, because on the landscape, there's so much consistency, and then here is one saying, I think a pox on all of those polls. Do you have a comment or an observation about that?
Well, I wouldn't want to comment on the research or the point of view of other organizations. We generally try to avoid doing that. I would just offer a few thoughts, though. One thing is that in this report, even though we are documenting that there's been a large decline in the percentage of the U.S. population that identifies with Christianity, we also shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the United States remains a majority Christian nation. You know, 7 in 10 U.S. adults continue to identify themselves as Christians. That's a big majority. We shouldn't lose sight of that. We also shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the United States remains home to more Christians than any other country on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very important points that we shouldn't lose sight of.
Mm-hmm.
We've also recently done some demographic analysis where we've looked very closely at factors like fertility rates and mortality and religious switching to try to provide a projection for the future of religion, not just in the United States, but all around the world. And one of the things that research shows is that the religiously unaffiliated population, even though it's growing in the United States and Europe and in some other places, is actually projected to decline as a share of the global population looking ahead over the next few decades. So those are things that are very important to keep in mind as we think about these topics and try to put them in context. With all of that said, however, I do not think that the growth of the religiously unaffiliated population is an insignificant finding, is an insignificant trend in the context of American religion. I do think it suggests that there are important changes that are underway. I think there are other measures that reflect much the same thing. And while we should keep our eye on the big picture, on the other hand, I don't think we should understate the importance of these trends that we're seeing.
Dr. Gregory A. Smith is Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center. The brand new report, America's Changing Religious Landscape, Christians Decline Sharply as Share of Population, Unaffiliate and Other Faiths Continue to Grow, has just been released, and I urge you to take a look at this online at pewforum.org. Dr. Smith is an author of numerous Pew Religion Surveys, as well as of the book Politics in the Parish, The Political Influence of Catholic Priests. Dr. Smith, I hope it has come across clearly that I am so grateful for Pew for doing this kind of work and so impressed by the way you do it. And you've always been good about coming on and talking to us about the data. And I thank you so much for being with us once again on State of Belief Radio.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. We work hard to try to provide good information that hopefully people will find useful, and it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Earlier this month, the Institute for Studies of Religion at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, organized a symposium titled The End of Religion? Press materials for the symposium bluntly assert that one, religion research of recent years points to a secularization of America, and two, it's completely wrong. In fact, the stated goal of the symposium was, quote, to provide an essential corrective to the secularization myth and to offer ways of understanding and debunking future claims as they arise. Among those presenting at the symposium was Dr. Byron Johnson, director of the Institute and distinguished professor of the social sciences at Baylor, and I'm very pleased to welcome him now to State of Belief Radio. Dr. Johnson, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
The End of Religion, whom do you see making that claim?
Mainly the media are making the claim. There are some researchers who are also making a similar claim, but largely it's the media making claims about religion and the demise of religion. But they're doing so in many ways by misinterpreting data that researchers are producing.
So do you see it as an agenda that the media has, claiming religion's in decline?
I think there's an agenda that's hard to not notice. The presentation that I gave at this symposium, for example, I kicked it off by saying, here's a look at some of the headlines. So if you just were to open up your computer and type in decline of religion or the demise of religion, or God is dead, any of these kinds of titles, if you just put that into a computer, what you'll get is many, many news accounts that would go along with that kind of a subject.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask about the health of religion, are people getting more religious? Is religion good for you? You won't get any hits. Mm-hmm. You won't find any headlines. You'll mm-hmm. only find headlines about the bad associated with religion. In a world that was completely neutral on these matters, you would expect, you know, a number of the stories to be positive and a number of stories to be negative.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, these stories are all negative. There are no positive stories. You know, God is either irrelevant or soon will be. Women are leaving the faith, kids are leaving the faith, et cetera, et cetera. But the research just doesn't, you know, show that. The research, if you pay attention to the Pew study that just came out, mm-hmm. multiple news accounts are now saying the collapse of American religion mm-hmm. based on a new Pew study. Pew didn't say anything of the kind. What Pew said in that particular study is that the number of people who are unaffiliated has increased in recent years. Even that's a kind of a debatable point, but if you did accept that as fact, that some people today are more likely to say they're unaffiliated, does that mean that American religion has collapsed? Of course not. What they're not telling you is that the major breakdown has happened in mainline denominations, i.e. those that have a more liberal theology. That's where the dramatic drop in attendance is. That's where many people no longer affiliate. But if you look at, for example, evangelicals, they have a significant share of the U.S. religious market. About 30% are evangelical, and that figure is steady. It's not going anywhere, just like the atheist in America. About 4% of Americans are atheists and have been for the last seven decades. It hasn't changed one percentage point. But you won't see any stories on that.
You seem to believe that the misinformation is more about intent on the part of some and actually an agenda of some who are more negative about religion. Is it intent or is it bad research methodology?
Pew is a bit of a problem because Pew has done excellent research in the past. Some of their research is very good, and some of it has issues.
Mm-hmm. I think. And what are they?
They don't ask if you go to a church. They uh-huh. ask you this question, pick your denomination from that category. Mm-hmm. And if you put no religion, then you're unaffiliated. Why wouldn't they go another mile and ask the same question that we ask? Is that intent? Is that because they have an agenda? I'm not saying that. Could they have done better? Absolutely. But what I am saying is that when people read that report, they use it in harmful ways. Here's another Pew finding. 44% of Americans do not attend the church they were raised in, the denomination that they were raised in. Okay? That study, published a couple of years ago, received enormous publicity, and the publicity was this: Americans have left their faith. That's not what Pew found. What Pew found was you may have been raised Presbyterian and now you're Baptist, or you were raised Catholic and now you're Lutheran. Those are completely different things. We call that switching. A lot of people switch churches. They shop around. If they don't like the product, they're going to go someplace else. But that's not leaving the faith. And that's how the findings of that study were interpreted. Now, is Pew completely innocent here? No, I think they fanned the flames a bit by structuring this study in that way. You know, they could have come out and say that religion is, you know, vibrant in America, and look how competitive it is, that people are constantly switching. They did not say that. That's what we would have said. So I can't give them a complete pass, but it was the media that took it and ran with it in these other ways to paint a picture of religion collapsing in America, which is fundamentally false. Mm-hmm. Most of the Pew research is very, very good. Mm-hmm. But again, it's misinterpreted.
Based on your interpretation of data right now, as you've been talking about, are there any predictions that you're willing to make about what American religion is likely to look like 10 years from now?
Sure. It'll look like pretty much what it looks like right now and what it's looked like for the last 50 years, which is stable. There are some winners and there are some losers. The mainline denominations are hemorrhaging. They're losing members. And those members, a lot of the time, are being picked up by more conservative theological denominations, i.e. evangelical denominations.
And are evangelical denominations losing their young people? I hear that a lot, too.
Yeah, we don't have evidence of that. What we do have evidence of is a drop in attendance by young people, which is usually a cyclical thing mm-hmm. where when young people go off to college, let's say, their attendance shrinks. they get out of college, they get married, they have kids, and they come back. This is a cycle that's been happening for decades. But yet, again, what you have is haphazard research and misinterpretation of that research such that you have these headlines. Millennials have left the faith. Women have left the faith. This is not true. Young people today are religious. They look an awful lot like their parents. And so there again, I think there's the sky is falling mentality that not only the liberal media wants to indicate, so do many people that are actually quite religious. They want to paint a picture that is not accurate because they want to create these kinds of moral panics out there. And so you have people on the left, right, and center all misinterpreting the findings.
Dr. Byron Johnson is director of the Institute for Studies of Religion at Baylor University and distinguished professor of the social sciences. The Institute recently hosted a symposium titled The End of Religion? At which Dr. Johnson's presentation was called The Myth of American Piety? Dr. Johnson, I appreciate you taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio. What is your website so people can go and look at your data as well as other data?
Absolutely. Okay. The website is BaylorISR.org.
Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Claude S. Fisher is Natalie Cohen Professor of Sociology at the University of California at Berkeley. Together with fellow sociologist Dr. Michael Hout of New York University, Dr. Fisher has been examining the reasons behind America's changing religious landscape for more than a decade, and they are the co-authors of the paper explaining why more Americans have no religious preference, political backlash, and generational succession, 1987 to 2012. Dr. Fisher, thank you for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
My pleasure. Glad to talk to you.
You've been working in this area for a long time. What got you interested in the subject of American religion?
Well, I've been working for a long time, even longer time, in trying to understand the nature of American culture and how it's changed over the generations. And you certainly cannot understand America if you don't understand religion in America, since Americans are distinctively a religious people compared to other Western peoples, and religion has played such an important role in the development of the American culture and the American society.
You and Dr. Hout write that you are challenging conventional causality in your paper. I'm interested in hearing you talk about what really is going on outside of what we would call conventional causality.
Everything we know about the modern world, whether it's the development of the economy or development of science, education, this is the argument, undermines belief and undermines religion. And people have been making that argument now for a couple of centuries. And one of the interesting challenges to that point of view has always been the American case, in which Americans have persisted for generations in declaring unusually high levels of faith compared to other Westerners and unusually high levels of church membership, participation in church services, and so forth. And that is a very interesting part of the American story. It's part of what I would call American exceptionalism, which doesn't necessarily mean American superiority, but means American difference.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's appeared in the data, and this is what Mike Hout and I started looking at and writing about 15 years ago, is since about 1990, there has been a shift, and it's been shown up in several major polls, a distinctive increase in the proportion of Americans who, when surveyed and asked a standard question about religion, what would you say your religion is, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, other, or none, picking the none option. And it went from a single digits in around 1990, 6%, 7%, 8%, to double digits by 2000, and now it's around 20%, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
This is a phenomenon we focused on. Now, a lot of the writing, conventional writing, goes along the lines of, Well, secularization has finally arrived in the United States. This is the crumbling of faith. This is the abandonment of the church. We saw it in Western Europe. We're going to see it now finally in the United States. What is striking is that when you look at measures of actual faith, do you believe in God? Or in what sense do you believe in God? Or religious practice like praying, private practice, private piety. When you look at religious piety, you don't see very much change over that same period. What really seems to be happening is that Americans are making a declaration against religion with a capital R. And we interpret this very much as a distancing and alienation from organized religion, from the established denominations and churches, that a growing proportion of Americans, now roughly about one in five, are making that kind of a statement, even though a large proportion of those very same people will express some kind of belief either in God in the traditional sense or higher power, and a striking proportion of them will report things like praying. So for us, the changes are not about Americans' faith and belief. It's about the relationship of a chunk of Americans to organized religion.
I've done a lot of work through the years with the Interfaith Alliance on the politicization of religion in our nation. How significant is the influence of that, the politicization of religion, to Americans' disaffection with organized religion?
Well, the major argument that Mike Houghton and I made in 2002, and we reiterated in this most recent paper, is that we think that is the key issue here. And if you think of politics, not just in terms of electoral politics, the, for instance, very explicit alignment of conservative denominations with the Republican Party, that's one sense of it, or politicization in a wider sense, that is, of the sort of culture wars over sexuality, over abortion, over gays, and so forth, which then feeds into electoral politics. So we have all these elections that revolve around issues like abortion or gay marriage and so on. We think that the evidence clearly shows that the major thrust in what's happened over the last now 25 years or so is a large chunk of Americans have basically gone through the following thought process. You ask me if I have any religion. The word religion brings to mind these positions on politics and cultural issues. If that's what religion is, count me out. Put me down in your survey as no religion. I think it's very much a statement people are making, rejection of organized religion. When you look at the survey data and you ask, well, what groups seem to be showing this rapid disaffection from religion, this rapid increase in stating I have no religion. It's very much connected to politics. The trend took off and has been much more accelerated with people who consider themselves liberals. It took off later and is modest among people who consider themselves political moderates. And it's a very minor trend among people who consider themselves political conservatives. This, thus, is major evidence, along with other things, that a lot of what's going on here is people's backlash, you might say, against the seeming marriage of religion and conservative politics, conservative cultural politics over the last quarter century.
In your research, you make a distinction that I think is really important, and I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about. Talk about how you distinguish between faith and religion.
In the American religious system, which is largely Protestant-derived, there's a big emphasis in declarations of belief and theology. And so there have been, over the many decades, survey researchers have asked standard questions, do you believe in God, or more sort of polished variations of that, what do you mean by God, what kind of sense do you have of God. They've also asked questions about to what extent you believe in the literal content of the Bible, or do you think it's metaphoric, or do you think it's just a bunch of stories. Survey researchers have asked people about their private devotional practice, how often do they pray. They've asked about attendance at religious services. And the basic story is, if you look at these other indicators of personal, private faith or piety, they have not changed much in the last couple of generations.
Mm-hmm.
The proportion of Americans who believe in the literal truth of the Bible has declined maybe a few percent, but nothing dramatic, nothing like this huge increase in the proportion of people who say, I have no religion.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly on most of these other items, if you look at church attendance, they separate out the people who declare themselves of having no religion. Church attendance in the last quarter century or so, 40 or even longer, has been slightly declining, but not by any dramatic means.
Yeah.
What this generates, Houghton and I have described, is a large group of people who are what we call unchurched believers.
Mm-hmm.
They express some kind of faith that we would identify as religious. Sometimes they use the language, it's become very popular in recent decades, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a sort, again, another way of saying I don't like that term religion with the big R in it. And so you have this, I think, a growing proportion of people who have what many would consider a religious impulse, but they don't label it that way. They might label it spiritual, and they have beliefs, but they are disaffected from organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a group of people, by the way, who we called church non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
That is, people who tell you, yes, they're a member of a church, yes, they go to services, but they don't believe in the literacy of the Bible or literalness of the Bible, or they're not believers at all. So there's always been a mix. But one of the interesting things, I think, is the development of a larger and larger growing set of people who have some kinds of religious instincts, who in an earlier age would have been conventional members of a conventional church.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Claude S. Fisher is the co-author with fellow sociologist Dr. Michael Hout of a comprehensive academic paper titled Explaining Why More Americans Have No Religious Preference, Political Backlash and Generational Succession, 1987 through 2012. Dr. Fisher, thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
My pleasure.
And listeners, as we continue this conversation in the weeks to come, I urge you to share your own experiences with us about religion in America. Has politics and religion pushed you away? Has it drawn you closer? Is this issue part of your daily reality? You'll find contact information at stateofbelief.com, and we want to hear from you. Now, before we go, this week, Jeb Bush spoke at a commencement address at Liberty University, founded by Jerry Falwell, who also established the Moral Majority Movement. A glowing review of Bush's words regarding religion appeared in the Washington Post. I'm quoting, "How strange in our own time to hear Christianity spoken of as some sort of backward and oppressive force," he said. "It's a depressing fact that when some people think of Christianity and of Judeo-Christian values, they think of something static, narrow, and outdated." End quote. Well, yes, depressing indeed. I suspect that Bush had in mind some godless conspiracy to marginalize Christianity in this country, a scenario endlessly described by countless conservatives going back to Jerry Falwell himself and beyond. But while I couldn't agree more with what Bush finds strange and depressing, I couldn't disagree more with what he likely sees as the reasons for it. When Jeb Bush turned state and federal legislative and judicial procedures on their heads back in 2003 and 2004 and 2005, single-mindedly trampling the rights of Terri Schiavo and her husband in a misguided attempt to impose his own religious convictions on a family tragedy, 1 month before speaking at Liberty University, Bush boasted of that achievement on a Focus on the Family radio broadcast. The Schiavo case was but one instance of politics in the name of religion trumping science and what most of us understand as constitutional liberty. This week, federal lawmakers continued to work on eroding reproductive rights, with religion as the subject, if not the overt reason. Texas took steps toward enshrining anti-gay bigotry in yet more laws, preparing to fight marriage equality if and when it comes, in the name of God. Hateful, judgmental rhetoric in the name of Christianity is all around us. So yes, Jeb, it is depressing that a good number of Americans view Christianity as static, narrow, and outdated. But, as I think the interviews on this week's show help to demonstrate, the reason for that is not some anti-faith campaign on the part of liberals, atheists, and Barack Obama. It is the attempt for far too long by cultural conservatives to hijack religion for their own ends. We saw this coming. Now, the only question that remains is, are those doing the most to dismantle religion in America, even as they claim to represent it, going to wake up in time? Or will they keep at it until new forms of expression of faith and community evolve that are immune from their hijacking? One thing all of our guests this week agree on: faith is going strong in America. It's going to take a lot more than self-serving culture warriors to change that. But for those who find comfort in religion, the cost of the ongoing culture war hijacking of some of our churches is likely to continue to grow. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, good for you. I want to say a very sincere thank you. The ongoing financial support of our listeners is essential to keeping this show on the air. Look, if you find value in what you've heard today and in what you hear every week on State of Belief, then I urge you to join our other generous supporters. Do it today. Please visit stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. I can't tell you how important your support is. Stateofbelief.com is also where you can sign up for our free weekly podcast and find links mentioned during the show. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and share the stories you find compelling with your friends. We really need you to help spread the word. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to write us this week about your experiences with religion in America. And then join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.